Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. There's not a truth more fundamental to the Christian faith than that of the truth of the resurrection of Christ. And it is especially at this time of the year that millions around the world are confronted with this amazing claim. Many receive it with joy and thanksgiving when they consider the blessed hope of the risen Christ. But there are those who refuse to believe what the Bible says. How important it is that Christians not only have a firm grip on this bedrock doctrine of the faith, but also have the ability to convey it to skeptics who resist the truth. In today's broadcast, evangelist Mr. Dan Chutt explains the biblical teaching of the resurrection. In part one today, he looks at how the New Testament teaching of the resurrection of the dead can also be found in the Old Testament, and he presents many examples of this. Next week's broadcast builds on this foundation, as Mr. Chutt looks specifically at the bodily resurrection of Christ on that first Easter morning. Since we want to stress what the Bible itself says about the resurrection, we will begin today's message with many of Mr. Chutt's scripture readings relating to this topic.
Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1, in the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples' word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world, unto the end of the age. Amen. Acts chapter 1, and now we are going to just read a short statement by Luke, the physician, as he begins to collate the histories that he had investigated regarding the person of Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. I just love verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now I want you to drop down to chapter 2, and I just want to look very briefly at Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, reading in at Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Him being delivered, that is the Lord Jesus, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. Peter did not waste any time getting to the resurrection in his preaching. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because, and this is a critical statement, it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And there are quotations from the Old Testament. Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And I want you to drop down. He speaks about David, who was dead and buried, and his tomb was well known to that day. Verse 31, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, Paul writes, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And now I want you to drop down to verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. The very foundation of Christianity, that God in mighty power raised his Son from the dead. That truth is the linchpin. It is the absolute irreducible foundation of all of Christianity. But Jesus Christ is alive. It is the keystone of the gospel. It is the birthstone of all Christian conduct and living. Jesus Christ, the first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth. He said, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Now what I'd like to do for a few minutes this afternoon is just sort of take you through some of the basics of the resurrection. I want to talk first of all about the definition of the resurrection, what it is. Now, we're very familiar with resurrection. We often use the word metaphorically, especially here in the northern climes when springtime comes. You know, we sort of like the resurrection theme, that after a cold and dark and dead winter, that things are going to come back to life again. When we speak about resurrection physically, it is an actual coming back from the dead. But when we speak about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection that awaits all who trust him, there is an additional component that we need to speak about, and that is this. that we are not only physically raised from the dead, but we're coming back, as he did, to a new kind of human life. A life that is deathless and incorruptible. You know Lazarus, I'll just make the point very simply. Lazarus was raised from the dead. What an amazing miracle that was, wasn't it? But the issue, very simply, is that Lazarus, while it's not recorded, Lazarus died again. But when the Lord Jesus was raised, there was something very different that happened. And there are a number of verses that talk about this amazing change. Luke 20 tells us that the children of the resurrection neither can die anymore. Romans chapter 13, Paul says, as concerning him that was raised from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. This is what Romans 6 says. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. So do we all grasp this basic concept? You know, I want to make a little point about getting saved, because getting saved is a resurrection too. Because you know that when I was saved, I was really raised to life. I received everlasting life. That's what John chapter 5 is all about. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not enter into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So positionally, every person who is born again actually experiences a spiritual resurrection. We think about Christ being raised, first of all, into a deathless, incorruptible life. And then now in this dispensation, we are spiritually raised with him. And the day is coming when we are physically going to be transformed to be like him. Now, when we come to the Bible, I think it's very necessary that we survey what the Bible has to say. We need to look back at the Old Testament and understand how God sets up this great subject of resurrection. You know, one of the things that I'm always frustrated by is the way that people in the Old Testament are pictured by those who do not know the Bible as being some sort of ignoramuses. That they're just cavemen or people who do not have real insight into things. But you know, if you take time to read the Old Testament, you discover a very different picture. You recognize that in the Old Testament, there are frequent references to life beyond death. What about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, right at the very head of our Bible, being carried away to be with God? Clearly, there's something more than just life here on earth. How about Elijah and that wonderful story of Elisha watching him being carried away by the chariots of God? You are confronted with the fact that clearly the grave is not final and that death is not final, and that there is something that lies beyond. Interestingly, and I'll just touch on this very quickly, in the Old Testament, there are three explicit cases of people who are raised from the dead. And I think that answers, and I don't have time to develop this, to the three specific cases where the Lord Jesus raises people from the dead. I'll just mention them to you. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the prophet Elijah raises a young boy from death. And that's an interesting story. Then Elisha, the follower of Elijah, raises the son of the Shunammite woman. That's 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a really exciting theme, and if you just want to take out a pencil and just jot some of these down, it'd be worthwhile to look at them more fully. Yet Job is a very early character in our Bible. Don't take the positioning of the book of Job near the book of Psalms as an indicator of how ancient Job is. Job likely predates even Abraham. He might be one of the oldest characters in the Old Testament. And I just want to point out what spiritual people in the Old Testament thought about the future. This is Job. Job chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Here's another statement from Job. Job chapter 14. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath be past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. You shall call, and I will answer you. Isn't that incredible? This ancient man had a living hope of resurrection at the voice of God. Let me go to Abraham now. Did you know that Abraham believed in the resurrection? Well, you wouldn't necessarily get that explicitly from the Old Testament, but aren't you grateful for Hebrews chapter 11? This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. How did Abraham think that was going to happen? Listen to this. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from where also he received him in a symbol. Isn't that incredible? This man Abraham knew all about resurrection, and he expected that God, in his faithfulness to his promise to give him a seed, was going to raise up Isaac again. Let me just give you a couple more. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, said, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. King David said, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. And I'll quote one more from Psalm 49. It is the sons of Asaph. This is what they said, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Isn't that incredible? I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed just typing it down, because this is wonderful. People in the Old Testament actually lived in expectation that the great God of heaven would actually raise them from the dead. There are a number of prophetic statements about the resurrection. I wish I'd had more time to read carefully what Peter says in Acts chapter 2. But it is very evident that the Holy Spirit moved Peter to see the resurrection of Christ, particularly in the book of the Psalms. I'll just read one thing from Psalm 16, and I think you should know this text. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. These are actually words put from the prophet's pen that address the very thoughts of Christ. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, actually, not only did people have a personal expectation of resurrection as righteous people who loved God and served him, but we also have prophecies about the Lord Jesus written many, many hundreds of years before he was born, and very much having David in mind. Now, there are other prophecies, and I'm going to skip over them, and they're very clear. For example, in Ezekiel, you have the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Do you know the story of the Valley of Dry Bones? About the prophet Ezekiel and what he sees. He sees a nation that is coming to life by the power of God. And you can read about that in the book of Ezekiel. Actually, one of the most interesting ones, and I'm going to touch this before I go on, is in the book of Daniel. And Daniel actually tells us that there is going to be a resurrection in the future of both the wicked and the just. The just are going to be raised, of course, to reward and to blessing and to joy. But the unjust are going to be raised to judgment and eternal woe. But Daniel says this. This is Daniel 12. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So I'm just trying to establish in your mind that the Old Testament very thoroughly anticipates the idea of resurrection. One other little point I want to make, and I don't have time to really deal with this in detail, is one of the types of the Old Testament that very clearly points to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There's some teaching that we don't hear very much anymore. The feasts of Jehovah are a subject that are rarely ever touched, and yet they are loaded with beautiful truth about how God unfolds himself through time and the work of Christ. And I'll just mention this, that there is a feast called the Feast of the First Fruits. It happened on the morning after the Sabbath. Does everybody get that connection? What's the morning after the Sabbath? Sunday morning. The resurrection morning. And there is a sheaf of grain that is waved before the Lord. And the idea is that that sheaf of freshly harvested grain lifted up is a symbol of the great harvest of resurrection that's going to follow. And I'm just pointing out that the resurrection is incorporated into that. The Passover, Christ's death. The Feast of First Fruits, Christ's resurrection. And of course, the Feast of Pentecost, which follows, telling about this present church age. Now, when I come to the Gospels, I'm not surprised at all to discover that in the ministry of Christ, the resurrection or resurrections are prominent in his ministry. You will remember that the Lord Jesus did many signs and did many miracles to demonstrate that he was who he claimed to be. And so I'll merely point you to the stories that you know so well, the daughter of Jairus, who was raised shortly after her death, the city of Nain, a young man in his own funeral procession, raised by the power of Christ, and ultimately Lazarus in John chapter 11, who had been buried for 4 days. And that gives rise then on the statement of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 11. You'll remember that conversation between the Lord Jesus and his beloved friends. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Resurrection is not merely something that happened to Christ, but this is actually a title of Christ. Resurrection power was invested in him. And while I know that God raised him from the dead, as the divine Son of God, he possessed that same power. And God raises us with him, but the power of Christ is clearly seen in that. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he shall die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, there are many statements in the New Testament that we could consider that point out the fact that the Lord Jesus promised resurrection. You'll remember he said in John 14, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." That seems pretty clear. You'll remember again in John 14, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Because I live, you shall live also." You'll remember that in Matthew chapter 12, he referred to the story of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Another one that the Lord Jesus alluded to was the temple. And he reminded them that it took 46 years to build that temple. And then he says, I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. And they said, "You got to be kidding." That's the DDS version. But that's what they said. The Lord Jesus wasn't talking about the temple that stood on the mount. He was talking about the temple of his own body. And he was referring to his own resurrection because he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." One of the remarkable things is how little really the disciples understood about what the Lord Jesus was saying. Several times over, I'm going to read from Mark 9, he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Now, I need to move on very quickly. I'll just point out that raising the dead was one of the commandments that was given to the disciples in Matthew chapter 10. I'll point out that there was resurrection connected with the cross when Christ died. You'll remember that there were graves that were opened after the resurrection of Christ. And actually, in the book of the Acts, very briefly after the commencement of this dispensation, there were some people who were raised from the dead. Notable stories would include Peter's raising of a woman named Dorcas, also known as Tabitha. And then there is the story about Paul raising a man named Eutychus who fell out of a window when he preached. The text isn't really clear about whether he was dead or whether he was alive and just resuscitated, but the point is this, that resurrection is really seen throughout the scriptures.
What a glorious thread we see throughout the entire Bible concerning the wonderful truth of the resurrection. It's a blessed hope for believers. But is it a hope for you? You see, the grave is not the end of our experience. All of us will be resurrected, some to joy and eternal happiness, but sadly, some to judgment and remorse. Would you like to know for sure where you will be for eternity? Well, you can. Christ came to this earth. He died. He rose again to bring eternal life to all who will trust him to do so. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the Gospel Hall nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.